Thanks for clicking on our podcast. This is John Fraser, and with my partner in wine down in the Cape, Michael Olivier, each week we taste the very best that the Cape has to offer in wines or spirits, whatever tickles our fancy, and hopefully it'll tickle yours as well. And welcome back to Divine Intervention. Well, in the last few tastings, we've gone through quite a few Sauvignon Blancs. Nothing wrong with those. It's probably one of the choices these days on the restaurant menu list in terms of people homing in on a fairly safe grape. But we're moving now to the white grape that maybe a decade or two ago was much more popular, much more fashionable. We're trying a Chardonnay. And before I introduce the wine that we're tasting tonight, let me introduce those with whom we are tasting. Down on the line from the Cape, we have our food and wine guru, who was given a pretty impressive honour last year. The Eat Out people gave him a Lifetime Achievement Award for services to food and wine. He is, of course, Michael Olivier. Michael, great to chat to you again.
Oh, John, thank you. Nice to be with you.
And Michael, I'm delighted to tell you that for the third week in a row, we just can't get rid of them. We have the same terrible trio that we've been tasting with for the last 2 weeks. From Absa / Barclays, we have Chris Gilmore, analyst, economic commentator, and generally very nice chap. Chris, great to see you again, and thanks for coming in again.
Thank you very much, John. Great pleasure to be here.
Well, the pleasure is all ours, Chris. Mutual admiration over. We go to Soho Sun's chief sommelier, and for those of you who don't speak funny languages, that basically means he pours wine and tells you what to drink. Miguel Chan. Miguel, great to see you again.
Thank you, John. Thanks. Great to be here.
Well, thanks for coming in again. And last, certainly not least, no, I said that the other day. Last and...
Certainly least.
As robust as ever, we have one of my favourite economists, despite his aversion to pink bubbly, Mike Schussler.
Thank you, John.
Mike, great to see you again. The wine is from Ayama. It's a Chardonnay. And looking on the back of the bottle, I see from the label it's a 2013 Chardonnay from Ayama. Michael Olivier, tell us about Ayama and tell us about this wine.
Well, Ayama is a farm in the Voorpaardenberg. It was known as Slent. And in fact, a farm that Maddie and I used to visit a lot under the previous owners. It's owned now by an Italian couple, Attilio and Michele Del Piers, and they are producing this really exciting range of Ayama wines. They have a range called the Baboon Range, which has some very amusing labels, Italian designed, lovely wines. And here we have a Chardonnay, 100% tank fermented, left on the lees for about 4 months or so, and then just fired and filtered before bottling. They call it unwooded, but it does have a very light irking in that the fermentation of alcoholic and malolactic took place in some small French oak barrels. So it's very much in undertow and in the background there. Smells of baked apples and pears, some nice lime there, a little bit of sort of buttered brioche there too in the sort of undertow, but a really, really nice wine, nice mouthful, and I think very elegantly packaged as well.
I agree with that, Michael. You say it's almost un-oaked. Certainly I don't detect the almost nauseating, over-oaked flavour and nose that one used to get for a while in South African Chardonnays. Does this mean that producers are becoming a little bit more subtle?
John, you know, I think we did made the same mistakes as the Americans and the Australians did, where we had very young Chardonnay vines that were not producing sensational fruit. So we just sort of beleaguered them with lots of oak. So you had almost like sort of oak juice, and that's really what moved a lot of people away from Chardonnay, South Africans away from South African Chardonnay in the early days. But I think things have swung around now, and the winemakers are realizing that that in fact you can make a damn fine Chardonnay without any oaking at all. And I was talking to Danny De Vet from De Vet's off the other day, and he was saying how this is a category that's really growing now.
And just my own views on this Ayama Chardonnay, I find it very pleasant. I have to say, Michael, I don't think this is a wine I particularly want to just glug away on its own, although if somebody forced me to, I probably wouldn't object too much. But for me, this is very much a food wine.
Absolutely. Yeah, perfect with food.
Chris Gilmore, you're perfect with food as well. Tell us what you think of it.
I have to state right at the very beginning that listening to Michael, it was fascinating there. I'm a bit of a Chardonnay dinosaur. I love those old big, heavy oak, buttery Chardonnays from the 90s. God, I thought they were wonderful. And I do find the more subtle ones just a little bit less interesting, to be honest. This is fine. It's nice. It's a little bit too innocuous for my liking, though, if I'm going to be awfully honest about it. It's fine, and it doesn't really do an awful lot for me, if I'm going to be very blunt about it.
Well, be very blunt. Not everybody likes everything.
And it may come back
to we had some dinosaur the other day who didn't want to drink pink bubbly. I can't remember his name, but we certainly won't be inviting him back in.
No.
Miguel Chan, as our guest who works within the wine profession, tell us about not only this wine, but what the trends are. Is there much of an appetite, much of a demand?
Definitely. Chardonnay remains a very strong category, and especially now we enter winter. Winter is the time where we sell the most Chardonnays on restaurants and hotels wine lists. So for the next 3.5 months, it's going to be heaven in terms of Chardonnay movements and stocks. And if we look at that Chardonnay that we tasted, the Ayama Chardonnay, it's more your Kate Moss than your Pamela Anderson in style. Very elegant, subtle, fresh, elegant. There's a crystalline purity in it. And I agree with what you said earlier. It is a food wine. I can see this pairing very, very well with a snail in garlic butter. It's going to be perfect.
Assuming one eats snails. I'm afraid I've never quite understood that. But maybe that's just me. I don't like sushi either. I'm a very, very difficult person. Fortunately, we have someone here who's generous, outgoing, full of the love of humanity and the love of wine, Mike Schuster. Mike, is this okay for you? I know you drink quite a bit of white wine, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I prefer a Sauvignon Blanc and a Chenin Blanc. Unlike Chris, I'm not for the oaky Chardonnay. But the unwooded I like, and I do like this one. I'm just not, I don't know if I'm going to put it in the top of my mind, but I want to say something. The bottle is perfect. The smell is perfect. It needs a food pairing, and maybe because we're tasting it without the snails and so on, maybe it needs that. It just feels to me it needs something. That's it.
Okay, well, Michael, give us something less repellent than snails to eat.
I think this is a wine that you could happily have with fish. I mean, a really nice piece of sassy, friendly, fresh hake in a pan with some butter, some herbs, and some lemon would go with this really, really well. I'm thinking in terms of meat. I think it would go well with a roast belly of pork and some nice crispy crackling and a bit of the other day I took shallots and apples and roasted them together and then whizzed them up, made a lovely sauce to go with it. This is the sort of food that you need to think about with this wine.
Michael, I'm going to have to ask you this. I know I still have from about a year ago some recipes that you sent me, which to my shame I still haven't posted on our website. But I actually cooked a gammon the other day, and I was looking for a good sauce to go with it. I muddled my way through with the help of Martha Stewart, Julia Child, and one or two other non-entities from the US. But that apple and shallot recipe sounds good. Can we have that one to share with the listeners?
I never wrote it down, but it's dead easy. I mean, I think I took 4 shallots and 2 apples and just put them in next to the pork and baked them together. And then when I'd finished the roasting, I took the pork out, and then took the apples and the shallots and all the pan juices and just used a stick blender and whizzed them up, added a bit of flavouring to it, and it was great.
Okay, well, we have committed you to this in front of our several million podcast listeners, so we will make sure that one way or the other we get a written version of this. And
but I'm
salivating away.
This might go well with pork. He's right. It oh, yeah. absolutely got something there, and I can absolutely envisage it. It does sort of seem to me pork and Chardonnay. This Chardonnay is would go very well.
It will be brilliant.
Well, Michael, you have got 10 out of 10 from Mike Schussler. How does that feel?
That feels good. That feels really good.
Chris Gilmore, anything you'd fancy nibbling with this? I know that this isn't your favourite wine, but assuming somebody very important, like a lady who runs a big bank, invited you to lunch and this was what was being served, what would you like to eat with it?
Well, Mike has just convinced me it's pork. Without a shadow of a doubt. No, I think that's right, absolutely. It's be a great accompaniment.
Excellent. Well, this podcast has condemned many pigs to to a fate worse than bacon, but I'm sure they will not pass on in vain. And just going back, Michael, to Chardonnay, In terms of what we can find in our South African supermarkets or bottle stores, quite often one's finding blends between one or two grapes. There's a grape called Semillon, which I know is very popular in France. One quite often sees that blended with various more better known South African varietals.
Yeah, absolutely. Particularly with Sauvignon Blanc, you know, they're sort of cousins in Bordeaux. They do it really well in Australia, where they call it SBS. And really, what Semillon does, it sort of fills the palate up and adds a bit of fatness and aroma to a Sauvignon Blanc. Some Sauvignon Blancs are called Sauvignon Blanc because they have less than 15% Semillon blended into them.
Well, Michael, thank you very much indeed for introducing this this Chardonnay to us. But before I go, a final thought from our panelists. If you were allowed just one wine over a meal, be it a lunch or a dinner, would it be a white or a red? And if so, is there any particular area to which you'd gravitate to? A single grape variety or a blend? Chris Gilmore?
Without a shadow of a doubt, Mirlis Rubicon.
Without a shadow of a doubt, you have a very benign employer.
Thank you.
I'm glad the bonuses are as generous. Miguel Chan?
Johnny, will be a bottle of champagne. It's a blend of white and great grapes, and it's perfect all-rounder.
And you don't need a corkscrew. Just pop it out like a racing driver and squirt it over your fellow diners.
Or a classic for that matter.
Mike Schussler.
Well, I would have a very simple. I would have a Cabernet Sauvignon, a red in the winter, and a Chenin Blanc, I feel, is my summer wine.
Well, for me, I find it difficult to choose. What I would really like to do is to buy those airplane-sized bottles, but of really good stuff, not the rubbish they serve on the airplanes. Michael Olivier, your final thought on this one?
My final thought, I think I agree with Mike on the Chenin Blanc. I think a good Chenin Blanc is just fabulous. And if you can whistle out a really nice Merlot, that would probably be my red of choice. But I love sherry too, in a huge and sort of never-ending, unceasing love.
We've tried a few sherries on these podcasts, Michael, and I was immensely impressed. And it's something to which we must return, along with brandy, along with whiskey. The world of booze is a wondrous place, just as long as you don't have to drive too much afterwards. So, once again, Divine Intervention is grinding to a halt, but many thanks to our food and wine guru, Michael Olivier, down in Cape Town. Michael, great to chat to you. See you next week.
Yes, John, thank you.
And to our studio guests in Joburg, many thanks to Mike Schussler, leading economist and jolly good bloke.
Thank you very much. You too.
Miguel Chan, sommelier and jolly good bloke.
Excellent. Thank you, John.
Chris Gilmore, analyst and very good bloke.
Jolly good bloke. Thank you very much.
Immensely good bloke.
Well, and, jolly after we've had this wine.
And for this getting jollier by the minute bloke, John Fraser, many thanks for your company. This has been Divine Intervention.